Father God, thank you that we could be here this morning. Thank you for all your mercy to us and giving us the sunshine and the rain. Thank you for Jesus Christ and setting our Savior into this world. And thank you for giving us your word. And thank you for all the people here. We pray, Lord, that you would be merciful to them, Lord. And as we look to your word, that you would shine in our hearts, you'd shine in the hearts of the people here to give us the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So our scripture for today is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting at verse 3. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, with ourselves as your servants. For Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So, I don't know if any of you remember that old show, Behind the Music. Oh, maybe just me. I don't know. It was a 90s show on VH1.
That was
back in like the late 90s. I guess they might still be making more, I'm not sure. But anyway, so at that time, Behind the Music was kind of a thing because the point of the show was to give you like the backstory of a famous band or famous musician. So the idea was before you watched the show, you know, you only knew about the hit songs. You only had this surface knowledge about MC Hammer or Lynyrd Skynyrd. But by watching the show, you'd really get a behind-the-scenes look, or in this case, a behind-the-music look at the band, at the group, and what was really going on in their lives. And our passage today kind of gives us a behind-the-scenes look. But it's much better than Behind the Music, because this is showing us, from God's perspective, it's showing us, and God who knows all and who reveals this truth to us, he shows us from his perspective what's really going on in people's lives, why people really do the things that they do. You see, because obviously we all know, and Paul knew, some people believe the gospel and some people don't believe the gospel. And these verses tell us why, show us the behind the scenes or what's really going on in people. Why do some people believe and why do some people not believe? And so the first thing I want to talk about this morning is actually unbelief and why some people don't believe. And I'm sure you all know people who don't believe the Bible's true, who aren't Christians, and probably some of you in this room don't believe. And if we ask people why they don't believe in Christ, why they don't believe in the gospel, we kind of know what people would say. Some people might say they don't think there's enough evidence the Bible is true. Some people might say that they have some other belief system that's different than Christianity. They have some other philosophy or some other religion. Some people might say they don't really care if it's true or not because they're just going to live their life their own way anyway. They aren't interested in following Jesus, whether it's true or not that he came to the earth, whether it's true or not that he rose from the dead. But if we ask people why they don't believe, I bet you that not a single one of them, none of them would say about themselves what the Word of God says about them. What the Word of God says about people about unbelievers is that in their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. And when it says God of this world, it's referring to the devil. It's talking about Satan. The devil is the one who blinds people to keep them from seeing the light. And there's a some other passages in the Bible that tell us about unbelief, why people believe and why people don't. There's the famous parable of the sower that Jesus told us in Matthew 13. It says, "And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow. And he sowed some some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil. And immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seed fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear." And then Jesus also, later in the chapter, he explained this parable to his disciples to tell them what it means. He said, "Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful." So Jesus gives us more specifics. Jesus talks about different kinds of people who don't believe. Some people hear the word and they don't even understand it. It just goes right over their head. And Satan just comes, just takes it out of their minds. Others, they want to believe for a while, but when they encounter any trouble, they fall away. And others, the desire for the things of this world, the desire for money, chokes the word. It keeps them from seeing Christ. And the devil uses all of these different things. The devil uses misunderstandings, trials, temptations, all of these things to keep people blind. When the Bible says that the devil blinds people, it doesn't give them an excuse. It doesn't take away their responsibility. We're all accountable to God, and we all will answer for whether we believed his word or not. There's another passage about unbelief I want to share with you from John 3. Most people have heard John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he sent his only son, that those who believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life." We know that verse, but also a couple verses later, he talks about unbelief, about those who don't believe. And he says, in verse 18, it says, "Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God." And then, "And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their works were evil." So even though, like I said earlier, even though people will give many reasons of why they don't believe, according to God, from God's perspective, behind the scenes, is the reason they really won't believe is because of the sin in their lives and because of Satan that keeps them from believing in Christ. But there's some good news even about the devil. There's some good news, because even though the devil is our enemy, the devil is limited in what he can do. He's limited in his power. We shouldn't think of it like God and the devil are equal opponents just fighting with each other. No, the devil can only do what God allows him to do. God is in control of all things. And the devil, like I've been saying, the devil doesn't want you to see the glory of Christ, like it says in our passage. He blinds the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel. He doesn't want you to see the glory of Christ. But because if we did see, if you did see the glory of Christ, if you saw who Jesus really was, how worthy Christ was, you would turn to him and be saved. And I'm telling you this morning that Jesus is glorious. Jesus Christ is glorious because he's Emmanuel, the Bible says. He's Emmanuel. He's God with us. That's what Emmanuel means. That God, the creator of heaven and earth, came into this world to be with us. Mm-hmm. Like the book of Hebrews says about him. Thank you. The book of Hebrews says he's the radiance of the glory of God. Here's something it says in Matthew 4. It says, it's talking about the places that Jesus went to during his ministry. And it says about the region of Galilee, it says, the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region of the shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. Jesus came as a light into a dark place. Jesus came as a light into a dark world. Without him, all there is darkness. Without Jesus, the whole world would be in the kingdom of darkness. Just a world of sinful, broken people. People left to themselves, left to their own selfishness, left to their own pride, left to their own hatred. But Jesus came as a light in the world. And the devil doesn't want you to see that. The devil doesn't want you to see this light that Jesus brought into the world. Jesus is glorious because he gave his life. He gave his life as a sacrifice to save guilty sinners like you and me. You know what? You remember John the Baptist. And what John the Baptist said about Jesus when he saw him, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." That's what Jesus came to do. He laid down his life so that we could be forgiven, so that we could have peace with God. And the devil doesn't want you to see that. The devil doesn't want to see the glory of Jesus in coming and bringing forgiveness and bringing peace with God to us. And Jesus Christ is also glorious because he rose again from the dead. And by his resurrection, he showed that death has no power over him. That death has been defeated by him. And he gives eternal life and resurrection to all who believe in him. And the devil doesn't want you to see that. The devil wants to blind you from seeing Christ's glory in that. So we talked about, like I started off talking about the behind the scenes idea. And we saw the behind the scenes of why people don't believe. But we also have in our passage, it also talks about the other side of it. It also talks about why people do believe. And in verse 6, it says, "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." See, like I said earlier, the devil is limited, even though the devil is an enemy, but the devil can only do what God is. The devil is not as powerful as God. The devil can only do what God allows him to do. And God, even though the devil's will is to hold us in darkness, God can break through. God can make light shine in the darkness. See, when Paul's talking about what God has done in his life, Paul's referring to God, to how God worked in his own personal conversion. And Paul had a very dramatic conversion. And not all of us have, maybe not that dramatic of a thing happens to us, but the same thing happens in our hearts. But in a different book of the Bible, in the book of Acts, Paul tells about his conversion, about how he came to believe. And just for some context, if you don't know about Paul, Paul was actually a persecutor of Christians. He was on his way to a city called Damascus. His purpose in going there was to find Christians and basically have them killed. That's what he was doing. And I'll pick up here in Acts 26. It says, in this connection, that's the connection of persecuting the church, "I journeyed to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priest. At midday, O king," he's talking to a king, giving his defense, "I saw on the way a light from heaven brighter than the sun that shone around me, and those who journeyed with me. And when we had all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. And I said, Who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, who you are persecuting. But rise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a servant and witness to the things in which you have seen me and to those in which I will appear to you, delivering you from your people and from the Gentiles to whom I am sending you, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. So talk about someone who was in darkness, who was blinded by the devil, as he was trying to get Christians killed. And though, and he did that thinking he was actually doing the right thing, thinking that he was serving God by doing that. That's how blind he was. That's how blind the Apostle Paul was before God and worked in his life. But God breaks into his life. In our passage, Paul writes about God's light shining in our hearts. But in his case, there was a literal light. There was a literal light that shone all around him. And then we look at, in that, at the end of that passage, what does it say Paul was sent to do? In Acts 26, in verse 18, he says he's sent to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. So that was Paul's ministry. That was Paul's ministry, to open eyes. That's what God did through Paul's ministry, is open the eyes of people. And this is good news for us, that God can break through, that God breaks through into people's lives, that God opens the eyes of those who are spiritually blind to see the light. Just like when Paul had this conversion experience that I'm talking about on the road to Damascus, just like when Jesus, you know, that's a miracle that he did more than once. Commonly, he healed people that were blind, that were literally blind. He healed them and made them able to see.
Amen.
And just like in the very beginning of the Bible, in creation, in Genesis, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. So just like the whole world at that time was in darkness, and God spoke light into existence, the same way that God comes into our lives and gives us light. All of these point to what God does in the lives, in our lives, to bring us from darkness to light. This is what God did in my life. This is what God has done in all believers' lives. And even though we also were in darkness, we also were blinded by the works of the devil, but God broke through and God shone in our hearts. And that's our hope. And that is my hope for you, that God will shine in your heart to give you the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. All right. I'm going to pray one more time. Excuse me. Father God, thank you that we could be here again this morning. Thank you for bringing these people here. Thank you for the opportunity to help them out and share food with them. We pray, Lord, that you would bless them, bless their families, bless their health, provide for all their needs. And we pray, Lord God, that as your word goes out, Lord, that you're, that you would be breaking into our lives by your Spirit, giving us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Woo!